It's 2007, the beginning of a recession. I wear glasses, but I've never been in retail. And I'm not an optometrist nor an optician, but I'm buying an optical store. WTF. What the frig am I doing? Today in this introductory episode, I'm going to introduce myself and tell you where I come from, how I got into the optical business, and why you might want to listen to what I have to say. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Revenue RX, Optical Retail Wins, the journey to working on the business and finding real wealth. This is the Optical Owner's Odyssey, and I'm your host, Joe Miro. And in this podcast, we'll uncover new ideas and useful insights as we explore a winning prescription of how to increase revenue for optical store owners. I've documented my process and journey of 16 years in the optical industry, as well as almost 35 years in unrelated business experiences that I drew on when owning and operating two profitable stores as an entrepreneur, not as an optician or as an optometrist. I invite you to follow me, find out what I did, how I did it, and hopefully apply some of the wisdom and experiences from my journey. This podcast series is directed in supporting ECPs, eye care professionals, with transferable actions that will address four key areas: time, team, money, and strategy. We'll talk about things like organic revenue growth, capture and conversion techniques, some old school marketing opportunities, and much more. Keeping it simple. To quote Einstein, if you can't explain something simply, you don't understand it well enough. So I intend to keep things simple and relatable with the focus on the bottom line. Revenue RX is a winning prescription for optical store owners, where the focus is on making more money. The podcast is a destination that encourages creativity while increasing the performance of the independent optical owner. It highlights practical applications to growing the business, as well as some philosophical approaches. Now, on one other important item to get some clarity on before this optical owner's odyssey is to expose my why. You may have read or heard about Simon Sinek or read his book, Start With Why. It turns up everywhere on everyone's agendas these days, and rightly so. Basically, it's based on the premise that people don't buy what you do, but why you do it. So here's my why. It is to inspire and motivate change for the retail optical owner to find real wealth, more discretionary time, an intervention of small business owners to free them from their job, and to share what I know in hopes that we all learn more. Okay, let's get started. Where did I come from? I'll spare you the detailed rundown of approximately 35 years prior to buying the store, but suffice to say that it was a very eclectic number of ventures with one thing in common. I always took the approach that in my mind, it was more than just do it, but rather I just did it. I never gave it any thought about failure. I was not going to self-impose any roadblocks until they presented themselves. A little more on that later. One might ask, what does a background in real estate or Xerox sales, pro hockey, acting and modeling, a startup of a sports association across North America, importing products, restaurant franchise marketing, resort legacy sales, and business consulting give me the tools to own an optical store? Well, when you follow my podcast going forward, I'll give you several references on the skills and knowledge that were transferable, that aided in the success and growth of the store's bottom line. Everything I did in my past was based on the premise that I was going to be able to figure out what I needed to do. I would not second guess my ability to find a solution until proven otherwise through lack of knowledge or circumstances that were beyond my control. In order to win, you need to adjust your mindset for success. I've tried in the past to keep in mind this saying: change the things you can, accept the things you cannot change, and have the wisdom to know the difference. For example, I can't change the weather. I have to adapt to the climate of the day. So recession or not, I have to move forward and adjust accordingly. If it's going to rain, I need my umbrella to protect myself. My business needs an umbrella when the economy is stalling and there is a limited amount of discretionary money available. So as time went on, I found a number of umbrellas to help protect the growth of the business. These umbrellas will be discussed in upcoming episodes. So let's go back to how I got into the optical business. In 2007, I was looking for a sustainable small business where I could work for myself. I had just finished consulting for three different small businesses where I took over the entrepreneurial role of the owner for a short time as they were stagnant and needed to grow the business. The owner was so involved with the day-to-day operations of the company, acting as either an employee or in a technical role. By the way, this is a whole other topic for discussion going forward. Anyway, they had no time to discover and implement any new growth incentives for the company. Now, this sounds familiar. Take heed in that there are ways to find more time. Through my research for this sustainable business, I came across an optical store for sale. I referenced it as an optical store rather than an optometric practice, as it had no optometric services at the time. It was strictly a retail store for eyewear. Customers needing eye exams were referred to an optometrist nearby. I took a moment to think about the product. Yes, the product. As for me, this was a widget, not a medical apparatus. I had experience in selling widgets. Homes, copiers, resort real estate, imported products, etc. Now, I asked myself, what were some of the positives of this widget? I started to get excited as I gave more thought on the potential for reoccurring sales of the product and multiple revenue streams. I know I'm singing in the choir, but bear with me. I wear glasses, so I have needed new ones as my vision changed. I've lost my glasses. I've broken my glasses. I've bought new glasses before I wanted to change the style. It's a product that satisfies a need as well as a want, but also satisfies multiple specific visual functions. Reading glasses, sun and transition lenses, glasses for sports, computer and office special requirements, and is a priority when it comes to deciding where one's discretionary income is going to go. After all, it's our eyesight that is in question here. Now, it's also a product that I could feel good about selling and a service that would give me personal satisfaction when delivering it to the consumer. I realized that coming into this business from the outside had its advantages. I was not subject to saying, you can't see the forest for the trees. I was coming in from 10,000 feet and could see the forest clearly without any preconceived ideas of any constraints on how things were done or how things work. I was not an optician or an optometrist, so I was not qualified to deal with the needs of the patient, but I was qualified to deal with the wants of the customer and how to get them to buy from my business. Perhaps it was naive of me to think that I could operate the business without any knowledge of retail or the optical consumer's buying habits, but my instincts, which have guided me well all my life, saw an opportunity. I had marketing and sales experience. I had some capital. I had some time necessary to focus on the tasks. I did not fear the process. I was willing to work. I am committed, competitive, and competent. This was not rocket science. I never felt like I was subject to the imposter syndrome. And for the purpose of clarity, this condition often results in people feeling like a fraud or a phony and doubting their abilities. You notice that I reference the business again, not a practice or a clinic. I'm talking about the customer, not the patient. The customer was buying a product or a widget now. For me, coming in from the outside, I approached it as a retail store and not a dispensary of prescription eyewear. My focus was on the product and how I could sell more of them and make more money doing it. How would I get more customers into the store and sell more to them? Later, I realized that the dispensary would generate more revenue than the optometric portion by a score of almost 5-1. You see, there are two sales to be made when the person comes into the store. One is the need-based sale, of which is the script from the OD. And the other, which is much more involved, that has a more personal approach, which is the want-based sale. More again on this in future episodes. I was also equipped with the freedom of having the time to work on the business and execute what might be done to drive customers into the store. Again, I had the time. This was my priority, my focus. I was not caught up with the technical aspects of delivering a script or delivering the product or customer service. My trained staff had that covered. I was all about maximizing each other's skill set and creating trust, as well as providing an environment of full disclosure with the staff and giving them the autonomy to make decisions on their own. Again, I will elaborate on this subject going forward in a future episode. Okay, let's get back on track. I left off considering all the positives of this widget. So now I stood on the street outside the store and took a look around. I went for a walk 4 blocks in either direction and explored the neighborhood. Wow. To my surprise, I encountered 8 other optical stores within spitting distance of the store. 2 almost next door to the right and left of me, 2 across the street, 1 other down on the right. Further down the block, across the street, were 2 more. Oh, and 1 more on my side of the block, 2 streets down. Now, including me, that makes 9 stores in a 4-block radius. Later, I found out that in the past, this area was referred to as Optical Row. Way too much competition. Now, that's enough to make a person run. No wonder she wants to sell. Wait a minute. I paused, and I thought, there must be one hell of a lot of eyewear being sold in this area, and that's a good thing. So how do I get more of this traffic to come to my store and not the other stores? Also, what was the draw in the area that accounted for all these stores? It's a medical business district with ophthalmologist offices and an eye care center where they do cataract surgery, a major hospital, and 2 hotels in the area. This is a destination for patients to come to from a very large geographic area. Understanding this would have a profound effect on my marketing strategy going forward. Now it's time to buy the store. All the boxes checked, including the financials, which showed no line item for marketing. The store was operating on return business only and maybe some walk-by traffic. They were satisfied on getting perhaps their proportionate share or 1/9 of the business in the area. No real initiative to gain more of the available market. From a marketing perspective, the opportunity to do more was obvious. We were in a recession, and a lot of geopolitical events locally and nationally were in play that I could do nothing about. Deja vu all over again, I'd say. We are back to 2007 here in 2024. So I had to make sure I focused on what I could do to build the business and not spend time being distracted and stay the course, stay on purpose, make money. In a recession, most small businesses will cut back on marketing to save money. This is the time to invest in marketing, as it opens the door for your brand and advertising to stand out, as there is limited competition, as they've fallen silent. And when things recover, your brand will be in the minds of the consumer first, and you will have created an opportunity to capture a higher percentage of the resurgent buyers. Now, earlier, I mentioned that I was not going to impose any roadblocks until they presented themselves. There can be many ways to self-sabotage an opportunity, if you let them. Thinking about what can go wrong, this is the worst. By doing this, you are focused on problems and not the solution. You manifest a roadblock before it ever presents itself. It will appear due to your own creation. By taking a positive approach, this mindset eliminates some potential roadblocks before they even surface. As I mentioned earlier, the focus was on the customer, not the patient. I had trained professionals working for me who knew how to treat and address the needs of the patient. For me, glasses were a widget, and the person coming in the store was a customer, not a patient. I think I've said that a few times so far, but it bears repeating. Yes, you're right. I've reduced the business to selling of a commodity. While I haven't done that all by myself, this is way above my ability to do on my own. I simply leveraged the state of affairs that they were then and are now in 2024. Commoditization is defined as the process by which goods that have economic value end up becoming simple commodities in the eyes of the consumer. Optical frames ceased to be a medical apparatus and are now a widget. The pricing power of the manufacturers weakened, and from the buyer's point of view, they tend to buy the cheapest. Decreasing profits and increasing competition characterizes commoditization. Sounds awfully familiar these days. Going forward, we'll discover ways to challenge these constraints. I've told you where I come from and how I got into the optical business, and I've highlighted a number of episodes going forward. Now, let me take a look at some of the possible constraints and why you might want to listen to what I have to offer. Let's take a stab at what's going on inside your head that prompted you to tune in today. Here's a list of some situations requiring a solution, some frustrations, or some fears. I want more money. I want more time in the day and my life. I want to trust my employees to do the best they can. I want a strategy that moves the business north. My conversion rate is too low. My margins are too low. I feel the pressure each day. Worried about the future at the expense of being distracted from the present. Where do I start? What's the first thing I need to do? Find the time to make changes. Stop doing things that are not necessary or that can be delegated to free up time. How much time it's going to take? What's the best use of my time right now? I don't have the time to implement new ideas and techniques. You notice that the word time is the common denominator in being able to get out of the gate? Well, the good news is that's where we're headed in the next episode. This is just the beginning of your journey to uncovering wins for optical retail. Right now, there seems to be more questions than answers. But as we drill down into many different issues, you'll see that it's not rocket science, but rather a simple process of execution and commitment to change. As I like to put it in today's climate, a focus on survival. I've introduced myself and where I come from and how I got into the world of optical, and have given you an idea of where we are headed in this podcast. I appreciate the time you took today to begin your search for answers in discovering the path to real wealth. And that is more discretionary time. In the next episode, we'll drill deeper into understanding time and how to find more of this non-renewable resource that we hold so precious in our finite lives. Time. You're going to have to find more of it if you're going to survive.